31st or until that funding is exhausted. Now, even if your household has already applied for and received LIHEAP, you can still be eligible for this benefit.
To find out if you're eligible and find a local office to apply, call 1-877-411-WARM. The CASA Playhouses are now on display in Central Park in downtown Decatur. The CASAs for CASA Playhouse Raffle is an annual fundraiser to benefit the Macon County Court-Appointed Special Advocates CASA program. The winning tickets of both playhouses will be drawn May 2nd at the 2019 Greater Decatur Chamber of Commerce Business Expo. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
It's not a wall. It's an 18-foot-high fence. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News, and President Trump is getting the money to fund it in support of the national emergency, he declared. Fox's John Decker live at the White House.
The Pentagon has transferred up to $1 billion in military personnel funding in order to construct President Trump's southern border wall. Patrick Shanahan, the acting defense secretary, authorized the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to begin planning and building 57 miles of fencing along the southern border, as well as improving roads in Yuma, Arizona, and El Paso, Texas. A group of Democratic senators led by Patrick Leahy of Vermont and Dick Durbin of Illinois, in a letter sent to the Pentagon, said they strongly objected to the transfer of funds, which they described as a violation of congressional appropriations. Dave?
John Shanahan will be asked about that fence at a House hearing next hour. Also at the House, a vote today to override the president's veto, expected to fall short. He blocked Congress's attempt to block his emergency declaration. Democrats are demanding Attorney General Barr make the Mueller report public by a week from today.
He has now done the job he applied for, which is attempt to exonerate Mr. Trump when Mr. Mueller said no exoneration was in order.
And Democrats like Congressman Adam Schiff want to see the evidence of possible presidential obstruction of justice the special counsel considered. Now, Schiff also still believes there was collusion, though Mueller's report found there was no Trump campaign conspiracy or coordination with Russia. Israelis and Palestinians shot at each other all night, warplanes bombing targets in Gaza as rockets were fired toward Israel.
We did see Israel's missile defense system at the Iron Dome intercepting many of those rockets.
Fox's Trey Yingst on the Israel-Gaza border.
The Israeli military is preparing for the potential of a ground operation. You can see a number of tanks and also armored vehicles. They have staged very close to the border.
This is the day after a Palestinian rocket destroyed an Israeli house, injuring 7 people. This is Fox News.
The average smoker tries to quit up to 30 times, and many are looking for an alternative. Juul was designed by smokers, for smokers, to be a satisfying alternative to cigarettes. Juul is a vapor product that contains nicotine for a satisfying transition. If you're one of the 34 million adults who smoke, know that there is an alternative to cigarettes. Make the switch at Juul.com. That's J-U-U-L.com.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Guardians of the grass, run with us on a John Deere X300 Select Series lawn tractor built for versatility. Because when you take pride in your lawn, you do it all. You mulch, bag, haul, grow, mow, and a whole lot more. And that's why the X300 Series takes care of everything with attachments for all your spring and summer projects. Because you're not just doing yard work, you're creating common ground for the whole neighborhood to enjoy. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Search John Deere X300 for more.
The Pentagon has passed a test, shooting down a missile launched in the Pacific with interceptors fired 4,000 miles away from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California.
The U.S. military tests its missile defense system, once known as Reagan's Star Wars. The Pentagon says it tried a new tactic yesterday during its first test in nearly 2 years. It fired multiple missiles to intercept a mock intercontinental ballistic missile in space. One to destroy the target or knock it off its path, another to act as backup. The Pentagon says the system worked exactly as intended and proves the U.S. has the ability to defend against ICBMs from countries like North Korea. Carmen Roberts, Fox News.
The search continues in North Carolina for an inmate who made a jailbreak in Nash County yesterday afternoon. 4 others who escaped have been captured. Michael Avenatti is free and defiant as he faces up to 97 years in prison, charged in 2 cases. Bank and wire fraud in California, accused of trying to cheat a client out of a settlement. The other case in New York.
Attorney Michael Avenatti is out of jail on $300,000 bond after being arrested in Manhattan on charges of embezzling a client's money in order to pay his own expenses and debts. Federal prosecutors say he tried to shake down Nike for as much as $25 million by threatening the company with bad publicity. Avenatti says that's not what happened, and he's confident the evidence will back him up.
When due process occurs, that I will be fully exonerated and justice will be done.
Avenatti is best known for representing adult film star Stormy Daniels in her legal battles with President Trump. In New York City, Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
News just out on the economy. Home builders broke ground on fewer new projects last month. So-called housing starts dropped nearly 9%. New construction of single-family houses hit the lowest level in nearly 2 years. On Wall Street, Dow futures up over 100 before the opening bell. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
A three-run home run, and the Cardinals win it in walk-off style. Look at this crowd.
It's the NowDecatur.com ticket window, brought to you by J.L. Hubbard Insurance and Bonds and First Mid Insurance Group. Listen to Buyers and Company every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. for your chance to win tickets to see the Cardinals at Busch Stadium. The NowDecatur.com ticket window from 1340 a.m. and 103.3 FM. WSOY, your home for Cardinal baseball.
Woo!
Apple.
Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Today, sunshine, highs near 50 degrees. Tonight, clear and lows around 30. Wednesday, sunny, highs near 60 degrees. And Thursday, we have a 40% chance we'll see some showers in the afternoon, cloudy, and highs near 62 degrees. Right now, in downtown Decatur, it is 30 degrees.
Good morning and welcome to the 8 o'clock hour of Buyers and Company. City Councilman David Horn's running for mayor. He's in studios next. Plus, we'll tell you all about the rotten Easter egg hunt. That's Easter egg party for grown-ups, right? Don't know what the rotten egg means. We'll find out about that next.
Buyers and Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM. Streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We are back here on a Tuesday, 1 week from today. At least four or five of you will go to the polls and vote for mayor, for city council, for school board, for park board commissioners, for Richland trustees, and then, of course, all of the districts in and around Decatur that have municipal elections as well. It will be a small group of people that will decide the future of our community. It's a sad thing, but historically, that has been the case. This seems to have been, and I've asked every candidate this question, and I'll ask Councilman Horn the same thing. Does this seem like a very quiet election to you?
So far, it has been a
I mean, I'm
quiet...
sure to you guys putting in the work, it's not quiet. I meant just from 30,000 feet.
Yeah, it seems to have been a little bit more quiet than previous municipal elections that I have been in. But there's still 7 days to go, and I would encourage everybody to get to the polls.
All right. I would as well. Early voting, though, not showing a lot of that.
Correct.
Okay. Why the decision, correct me, go back through the timeline. You ran for council the first time and didn't make it, right?
Correct.
Then you ran a second time and made it.
Yes.
And before that term's up, you decided to run for mayor. That happened with Pat McDaniel and Tuna a few years ago. Why not serve out your term? Why the jump? Why the decision? Why the time? I mean, why now?
You know, I think that it's a good time for me personally, and I think it's a good time for the city as a whole. We have a new city manager that is in place, and I think a new mayor, a new city manager is really going to lead to a new approach.
Okay, but by default, you're saying that you don't agree with the approach the current mayor is taking.
Well, I think that we have some longstanding issues that I think the city council can address but hasn't addressed to this point.
Okay.
And
what are those issues?
For example, I think one area is neighborhood revitalization. It has been well over a year since the community got together, had a series of meetings to talk about neighborhood revitalization, and our response to neighborhood revitalization has been underwhelming relative to the magnitude of the challenge ahead of us.
Okay, and what are the reasons for that, in your opinion?
Well, in my opinion, it all begins with the city council having a strategic plan. The park board has a master plan. the school district, they have a strategic plan. City of Decatur lacks a plan as to how we're going to move forward. And because we lack a plan, there is not that level of urgency that we would have otherwise.
Okay, and so you're saying that the mayor has kept us from having a plan?
Well, the mayor is the legislative leader and does set the agenda for the city.
Yeah, but if you have a number of fellow council members that feel the same way, you can get something on that agenda.
It's a little bit challenging. There, in order for an item to be on the agenda, either the mayor, the city manager, or four of six remaining council members need to consent. And in the past 2 years, I can't recall an issue that's come up where there's been able to get four of six to consent.
So are you saying then that the majority of the council are not in this with you philosophically? I mean, if you can't get four of them to agree to put it on the agenda, how would you get four of them to vote for a plan that you would want to put in place?
Well, I actually think that there's going to be a number of individuals that are going to be very supportive of a strategic neighborhood revitalization plan.
Okay. Are there other reasons why things haven't happened as quickly as you would like? I mean, you can't just go in and start bulldozing houses. I mean, there's ownership issues, there's legal issues, there's money issues, budget issues. I mean, is everything you want to do feasible?
Well, yes, I believe that everything that I'm looking to do, we can do. Let's take neighborhood revitalization. We have $3 million in funds that are available for neighborhood revitalization initiatives. And so this really has not necessarily been an issue of funding as much as it has been political will to move our initiatives forward.
Okay. And are you familiar with everything that's going on as far as conversations in this particular area behind the scenes?
Well, I know that the city staff is having conversations regarding neighborhood revitalization, but keep in mind that it is the city council that is the legislatures of the city. And so ultimately, it is the city council that
right,
is...
Right, but ultimately, it's going to take four of you.
Yes, and I'm very confident that there are
then,
four.
Okay, if there are four, why can't you get it on the agenda?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure what the impediments have been.
Well, you've had three other people, along with yourself, actually ask for it to be on the agenda.
We have had definitely... a total of four or more who have asked for various aspects of the neighborhood revitalization project to move forward. And regards to your specific question about are there four individuals that want a strategic plan for neighborhood revitalization, I'd say yes to that too.
Okay, so then why haven't you been able to get it on the agenda?
But
you just said the way you get it on the agenda is if four of the council members want it on the agenda.
Yeah, it's a very good question as to why when council members are publicly in city council meetings saying we want a strategic plan, it's difficult to know why it hasn't gotten on the agenda.
Okay. If you lose this race, are you worried about the relationship between you and the mayor?
Not at all.
Not at all. You don't think that people take this stuff personally?
Actually, Julie and my relationship is a good one.
That's what Pat McDaniel always said about tuna, and it wasn't true.
And I don't at all think that there'd be any issues going forward.
Okay. Why mayor?
Yeah. I think, again, it is the mayor who sets the legislative agenda for the city of Decatur. I think I'm very much focused on having a strategic plan to move us forward. Very focused on neighborhood revitalization, as I think that is the one thing that the city of Decatur governmental body can do that will really help move the city and bring more people here.
All right. What specifically, when you say revitalization, beyond knocking down houses, what are you talking about specifically?
Yeah, sure. There's going to be three aspects. One of those is demolition of dilapidated, boarded up houses. Two other things that I think we need to work on are first, repurposing of our vacant lots that we have throughout the city of Decatur. And third...
And what do you mean by that?
Well, in many ways, I think it's got to be the people who are living in those neighborhoods that are going to have the ultimate feedback as to what they want to see those vacant lots be. With that said, things that have been discussed include things like community gardens, bringing in renewable energy to some of these neighborhoods. But again, I stress that this got to be a neighborhood decision.
And so, okay, fair enough. Who pays for that?
Well, I think that in many ways, some of these projects are going to pay for themselves in the sense that really, I think the city needs to be thinking about a model similar to the Civilian Conservation Corps that we had decades ago, but we might call this the Neighborhood Corps. And really, when you have projects that require people, those people are going to be employed, and they're going to be doing things that improve our neighborhoods, which in turn bring more people to the city of Decatur.
Okay, so who employs them? I guess this is my question. I mean, yeah. It's easy to talk about revitalization, but there's a lot of cost attached to this. Where does the money come from?
Well, I think, again, some of those costs are going to be, we've got $3 million right now. We have been able to work with our state and federal partners to find approximately $40 million for an overpass on Brush College Road. I think there's going to be other opportunities.
You don't think the overpass is important?
I said we found $40 million, yeah. And I'm excited about that because that should help our transportation concerns that we have currently. I think my point here is I know if we can find $40 million for an overpass, we can find $40 million to help where people live here in Decatur.
So you would want to spend $40 million on putting neighborhood gardens in?
I did not say that at all. I'm referring now to the neighborhood revitalization program as a whole. You have to think about it for a second. We have over 100 houses on our demolition list.
And what's the cost of demoing 100 houses?
About $1.5 million.
Total.
It's about $15,000 per house.
Well, that's if there's no asbestos. I mean, there's a lot of degrees here.
So far, we are averaging about $15,000 per house, including asbestos removal.
Okay. So you're saying we can demolish every single home that needs to be demolished for $1.5 million?
I'd say that if we have 100 per 100 houses, it's going to be about $1.5 million. Quite frankly, I think we've underestimated the number of houses that ultimately are not going to be able to be salvaged and rehabilitated. So now,
does that count for legal cost and everything else, or is that just demo cost in your $1.5 million? Because some of these, whether they're dilapidated or boarded up, they're still owned by somebody.
Yep, it would not involve legal costs.
Okay, so there's going to be more than just, I mean, it costs more than just taking the house down. There's other steps that have to be taken to get to that point.
We have a legal department, and they're spending time, and so there are those internal costs as well.
Okay. And then once the house is gone, and then the neighbors decide what they want to do with that land, that's going to cost money too, whether it's gardens or renewable energy or whatever else you suggested. I mean, there's a cost attached to that.
Could be a cost, but some of the repurposing possibilities, in fact, could generate revenue. So if
like
these,
what?
So if these community gardens are in turn used for food that local restaurants are purchasing, that actually could be a revenue stream for the city and create an advantage and a distinction for the city of Decatur in terms of restaurants selling locally grown food.
Okay. Your tenure on council, give me some examples of where you've been able to gather the majority of council members to pass initiatives that you've backed to the consensus portion of this. If you are mayor, that will be your job. What have you done on council in that area so far?
Yeah, I think the one issue that I have really worked hard in is the video gambling, and in particular having the fee raised from a video gaming terminal from $250 to $500. Now, I will say I want that terminal fee to be much higher than $500 per machine, that's something I worked very hard to get that fee increased. And one thing I should mention is you asked about revenue on how we're going to pay for neighborhood revitalization. Really, I think that there's an opportunity for increased funds from video gambling revenue to go to neighborhood revitalization.
What do you say to the local bar owner, you know, husband, wife, been in the community for years, support local causes, that they're not paying enough and you want to tax them more? Is that a vote getter for you?
I would say that the fact that I am opposed to video gambling is not going to be a popular with those owners, and I can fully understand why they would not want me to have that stance. But I will say this, the city of Decatur has not measured the societal costs associated with video gambling in terms of addiction, bankruptcy, and crime. And so, yes, the city of Decatur is receiving about $1.65 million from video gambling revenue, but we don't know what the cost of it is. And I'll say one other thing. Citizens lost $29 million in video gambling losses if that those dollars were spent on food and beverages at local establishments.
Okay, but you can't mandate that.
No, you can't mandate it, but my only point here is this. If that $29 million is spent locally, that could mean an additional $1.3 million in tax revenue.
That's a fairy tale, Councilman. You're not going to take people's behavior, and if you make gambling – by the way, I may not be as far away from you as you think on what gaming does to a community, but it's not just Decatur. I just recently drove to Nashville. Every single town between here and Tennessee are overrun with these gaming. I'd personally like to kick the companies from out of state out of here and leave it into the local business owners, but you can't do that either legally. But the idea that if you're going to get rid of gaming, let's just say we wave a magic wand and gaming is gone. The people that went in there and lost $29 million, you think they're going to turn around and use that as disposable income and spend it on something positive? That's never going to happen. You know how much the Illinois Lottery took out of this community last year?
I don't remember.
$21 million.
Yep.
Are we going to get rid of the lottery? I mean, you're not going to change behavior by banning it, and they're not going to spend that money on something positive because you've banned gaming. Do you think that's a realistic expectation?
Well, I think this. City of Decatur currently has a $144 million retail leakage from six different areas, and so I definitely think that the Decatur consumer is looking for places to spend their dollars.
You don't think that leakage is because of Amazon and online shopping more than it is because people are spending their money on gambling?
Well, I think the response that I would give you there is when there is a person in Decatur, that is providing far more ability for the city to give public services, even if that consumer is spending more and more online. Unless they're shopping in Decatur, unless they're living in Decatur, that is our greatest challenge.
Okay. I would ask you the same thing that I will ask Mayor Wolf on Friday, and I assume Jacob Jenkins. I think you're all three Democrats, and this has nothing to do with D's and R's as far as this race is concerned. But what do you see in Springfield that's learning any lessons from any of this? Because marijuana is coming next.
Yeah.
All they see is a revenue stream.
I am frustrated by a pattern whereby a city is losing population, then looks to revenue sources that have societal costs. This may cause our neighborhoods to decline a little bit.
But I'm assuming you voted for J.B. Pritzker, who's doing the exact same thing on a state level. You make it sound like Decatur's this isolated place, the only one doing this. Legalized gaming came from the Democrats in Springfield. Legalized marijuana is right on its tail, and all they are looking at is a revenue stream.
And I am frustrated with that fact because I think that Decatur is better than that. I think that our city has some tremendous advantages. We have a low cost of living and a high quality of life. And we have some incredible assets, including great parks, wonderful arts programs, great medical facilities. And I think we need to showcase the best in Decatur. And I think when you have things like video gambling or coming recreational
marijuana. So what would you do
if you could
literally just decide whether to keep gaming, get rid of gaming? Legally, what can you do as a council?
We as a council are able to regulate if there is going to be video gambling licenses in the city of Decatur.
Okay, and so you would want to get rid of them completely.
I would.
Okay. And so to those local business owners, that this may be the difference of them staying in business because of, as you just pointed out, people spending less, you would say, okay, you lose your business.
Well, what I would say is the small business owners that I have interacted with, many of them are very, very talented individuals that have been able to find great value for why to come to the business. And I think many of them are going to just find another way to bring in the revenue they need to be successful.
Okay. I'm not sure that's a good – we'll see. If I'm a small business owner and I'm making money off this and it's my customers that want this, I think I would say government stay out of my way.
I think if I was a business owner, I again, would not be reacting favorably to what I say. But at the end of the day, things like video gambling have significant societal costs, and I don't think the costs of those societal costs are enough to support the benefits.
Okay. Do you think that bad behavior is a part of it, though? And do you think that behavior is only there because the government has allowed a gaming machine to be there? I mean, do you? This is back to my question about whether you think people would take the money they're putting into a gaming machine and spend it in a positive way over here, whether it's buying lottery tickets or it's driving to the boat in Peoria or it's betting online. It's not like people don't have a choice or can't find a way to gamble.
Yeah, I do think, as you've pointed out, that not everybody is going to say, you know what, I've got some additional discretionary income. I'm going to spend it on taking my family out to a restaurant. They might very well go to Peoria. I agree with that. But at the same time, you can drive by our main thoroughfares and you see establishment after establishment with flags saying slots, slots, slots.
I don't.
We have family restaurants.
I agree with you, but you keep making it sound like this is a Decatur thing. This is go anywhere, and that's what you see is slots, slots, slots.
Yeah, and I think the thing is Decatur can distinguish itself and be different, and I think it'd be different in a positive way.
Okay. We've got 1,100 jobs available in this community right now.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of people not working. I think this would be the main focus for everyone that's a leader in this community. Mm-hmm. Because we can talk about creating new jobs. I mean, every politician that comes through here is pro-job. I've yet to meet a politician that's not. Yet we've got 1,100 jobs. If tomorrow there was an announcement that a plant was coming here to hire 1,100 people, would it not be big news?
I think it'd be great news.
So why are we not connecting the people here to these 1,100 jobs?
That's a fantastic question. So in order for us to really turn our city around, it's going to take three things. It's going to take jobs, good paying jobs. And you mentioned 1,100, 1,200 jobs. It's going to take a skilled labor force, and it's going to take housing. And you are correct. Every person that comes into this studio here is going to say we want jobs. The reason I am focusing on neighborhood revitalization and housing is that is because the one thing the city government has significant oversight over. I think we need to work together with Economic Development Corporation, with Chamber of Commerce, with other organizations on the creation of the jobs.
Okay.
And I think we need to work with educational institutions on the skilled labor force.
Take your council hat off and put on your professor hat. Has higher education not been at least partially responsible for some of this, where for a large number of years we told kids it was more important to get a four-year degree and there was no nobility in being a welder? I mean, did we get it wrong for a long time?
I think we are finding, and I'm not speaking necessarily as a professor, but more of as a citizen here, I think we are finding that there is a great demand for skilled labor in the trades.
The average IBW age is 48, and there is no pipeline.
Yep.
And I sat with an executive from one of our companies at one of the community leaders' breakfast, and he was explaining, and this was with the advent of the Midwest Inland Port and things that were going on, that he paid $300,000 for his daughter's education. She makes $30,000 a year in a marketing job. Kid could go into the IBW, begin getting paid immediately, and have a career that he could make six figures the rest of his life. Yet for some reason, we decided that wasn't enough, that that wasn't good enough, that you'd be better off going and getting a degree in some obscure subject from a university that may or may not be able to even pay off your student loans. I mean, when did we get that so backwards as a country? And it doesn't mean college isn't for a lot of people, but there's very good careers. A lot of these 1,100 jobs that are available right now, we just told kids that's not sexy enough.
I can't stress enough. I think that there is a need for skilled labor that does not necessarily require a two-year or even a four-year education in the trades, and I'm highly supportive of that. And, you know, different people have different interests, and I want them to pursue that. I think that higher education does allow for the exploration of those interests. But I realize as a biology professor, not everybody is going to want to be a biologist, and that's okay. And I think there's going to be people that want to work with their hands. And
by the way, I'm not dissing biology professors. I'm just saying there's got to be room for both. And I think for too long, we said no.
I am. You and I are in support.
Okay.
We're on the same page.
I'll tell you the most interesting thing, conversation I had in and around the Ag Academy, for the Decatur Public Schools, were the shop teachers at the schools, because they have been ignored for 20 years. And now there's this renewed interest in kids maybe looking at things in a different way. And I think that's how you get to the point where you start filling these jobs.
You know, we've been talking about neighborhood revitalization quite a bit today. And what I would say is if we had more students that were trained in the trades, we would in fact have essentially create an apprentice type program where high school students are working on rehabilitation of homes in the city of Decatur that need assistance in a much grander scale.
Okay. How's your relationship with the police chief?
I think I have an excellent relationship with the police chief.
Okay. Well, and where are you right now on this community in crime and where, what we're doing as far as crime is concerned?
Well, very early on, I had good conversations with the chief, and one of the things that I said is that he is the expert. And he is most involved in what's happening in our community when it relates to crime. And I rely on his expertise and his good judgment to lead us toward reducing those crime rates. And I'm very excited that most of the major crimes have gone down from 2017 to 2018. And you got to give credit to our great police officers.
Okay, but did you FOIA him for information?
I have. No, I have not.
You did not attempt to FOIA information that did not exist. I mean, I have the emails.
Yeah, and I know you've read those emails on the air. There was never any need to have a FOIA request.
Okay, but you weren't inquiring about one.
No, what I think from that particular set of emails that you've read on the air, essentially there was certain information that I was looking for, and I was able to get that information.
Okay, but it doesn't speak to a great relationship when you're saying he's the expert, but you're trying to FOIA information from him.
Well, I think what was actually... If my memory serves me correctly, this issue was associated with distracted driving,
yes.
And there was particular statistics that I was looking for, and I think I was hoping to get that information.
Was that just a rookie mistake? I mean, was that just not – I mean, I don't ever recall anybody in an elected position from the council trying to FOIA information from their own police chief.
Well, I've also I've actually FOIA'd information from the city manager, and that was because it was taking a very long time to get the information that I needed to make a decision. City council has very limited time to make some of our decisions, and so if it is taking longer to get information just through normal routes of email, then... I think city council might need to go to FOIA as
But I don't know any other council members that have talked about that.
Yeah.
I've yet to have one ever go that far.
I will tell you this. It took me over 2 months to get information on the actual cost of dredging Lake Decatur. I went through probably 4 or 5 email exchanges to get one number. And so, again... If the city council members or the mayor is not getting information on a timely manner, then absolutely.
Okay, but this doesn't speak to what it's council members at time, and there have been a lot of them, that micromanage staff's time. And that's the way you were viewed down there and are viewed as a council member, as somebody who's micromanaging in the day-to-day stuff. As mayor, are you going to be able to build a consensus among that council to work in this agenda? Or are you still going to be – because I don't see a lot of that. I don't see David in 4 votes a lot of times or 4 people that are supporting your ideas. If you're elected, how do you build that consensus?
Well, I think it, again, starts with that strategic plan. And I think the challenge that we have right now is that there is no strategic plan, there's no benchmarks, there's no goals, and that really creates an environment where you could have different council members going in a different environment or a different direction. And so it starts with the plan.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I got a minute left. I've run over a little bit here. I want to give you a minute. I've asked my questions. What do you want the voters to know about you?
Well, I would just say, first of all, Brian, thank you for having me on your show. I am running for mayor because I care and I love the city of Decatur. This is my 14th year in the city. I met the love of my life here. I have a wonderful home in the west end of Decatur, and I've had the opportunity to mentor hundreds of students. And so in Decatur, I found my American dream. And what I am hoping for the next 4 years is that we find an American dream for the 72,000 residents that live here and create a city that we're all proud to call home.
Councilman David Horn, he's running for mayor this Tuesday. We'll take a break. Here's Lindsay Romano with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
Today we've got sunny skies, highs near 50 degrees. Tonight, clear and lows around 30. For your Wednesday, sunshine, highs near 60 degrees. And Thursday, we do have a 40% chance we'll see some showers in the afternoon. Cloudy with highs near 62 degrees. Right now, in downtown Decatur, it is 32 degrees.
The Decanter Fine Wines and Spirits offers a wide selection of both wine and spirits to suit all tastes. Weekly wine tastings from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. every Friday and 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday.
The March Wines of the Month are a 2017 Indaba Sauvignon Blanc and a 2017 Indaba Mosaic, both from South Africa.
We offer excellent service and expertise on wine pairings that is unmatched by the competition. Go to thedecanterfinewines.com for more information. The Decanter, excellence and expertise. 215 North Main Street, downtown Decatur.
Hello, this is Mike King from Merryman Herbs. We are open daily and serving the Decatur area for over 40 years. We've had the privilege of helping our customers get healthy and learn about the benefits natural products and supplements have to offer. As a local business owner, I know the importance local dollars play in helping your community and family-owned businesses like ours. For every $100 spent, 68 of those dollars go back into our community. This year, Merryman Herbs and New Op Media encourage you to visit the businesses owned by your friends and neighbors like Merryman Herbs. Shop local, buy local, and enjoy the savings and value when you shop at Merryman Herbs.
Behind every great movement, there's a bright idea. Someone has a great idea. They tell others and it grows. The bright idea behind our community bank is that we keep the money working in the local area where it can help other local businesses and families grow. Scott State Bank. Together we grow. Member FDIC. Customer focused, community driven, committed to you since 1887.
Hi, I'm Tom Brinkotter, and I sell homes for a living. You might say, I sell Decatur for a living. And what a difference a few years has made. Decatur is in a renaissance. Just look at downtown. It's a business community reborn. Restaurants and shops are thriving, and that helps to increase property values in the city as a whole.
But neighborhood revitalization is more than just tearing down homes. It's about building up our community as a whole. This is Reverend Courtney Carson. I'm proud of the work we're doing to make Decatur a better place for all of our people. Partnering with Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, we're getting the job done. I hope you'll vote for her on April 2nd.
I know I will. Decatur is moving in the right direction. We need to keep the progress going. Join Reverend Carson and I and vote to re-elect Mayor Julie Moore Wolf.
We most certainly thank God for Mayor Julie Moore Wolf. Decatur family, stay blessed and productive, and let's get out and vote April 2nd for our Mayor Julie Moore Wolf.
This message paid for by Friends of Julie Moore Wolf.
You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome back. Right now is the time we head to Benjamin F. Edwards and Jamie Bruner, who's standing by. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning.
morning, Brian. The popular averages traded without a clear direction on Monday, and the Dow was up 14.5 points to 25,516. Economic news was slim, but investors continue to weigh the ramifications of the inverted yield curve. The 10-year U.S. Treasury yield sunk to its lowest level dating back to late 2017 as investors continue to fret over potentially slowing global economic growth. In European trading, the London FTSE was up 0.46%, while the DAX in Frankfurt was up 0.01%. The Nikkei in Tokyo was up 2.15%. The 10-year U.S. government bond was down 13/32nds, yielding 2.444%. Gold futures were down $6.70 at $1,322.40. Crude oil futures were up 63 cents at $59.45 a barrel. Right now, the Dow is trading at 25,740, a positive 223 points. ADM at 42.34, Amarin 74.39, Caterpillar 133.10, Norfolk Southern 181.57, PPG 108.23, Tate & Lyle 37.54, and Mueller Water at 10.07. And today I quote Martin Luther King Jr., "We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope." This is Jamie Bruner with Benjamin F. Edwards & Company, member FINRA, and SIPC.
Thank you, Jamie. As always, we appreciate it. We'll check in with you first thing tomorrow morning. All right, the sun is out. I'm happy. We're almost to Election Day.
Be a great day to grill andouille sausage, I think.
Do you want to do that? Yes. As we're okay. We're going to bring Jamie Gower, and we're going to talk about Rotten. This event is for grown-ups. It's Easter fun party for the kids and all of us. Rotten Easter Egg Hunt. We'll tell you about that on the other side of the break. But before I go to the break, what caller would you like to do? Because we're giving away Heinkel's andouille sausage today,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you win that, you win that. But yes, it also means your name gets put into the list to qualify for two tickets to opening day, which is a week from Thursday at Busch Stadium to see the Cardinals and the Padres. And, man, is it fun. I think they still give away calendar magnets. Can you believe that?
The first game, always calendar magnets.
I always thought, like, man, it's. I guess because you get so much else.
Well, and apparently those are very collectible to the ultra fan that you go to the first game. I'm like, this is the first game.
They had a custodian. There was a guy who worked in at St. Teresa High School.
Uh-huh.
And they used to give out certificates, and he had one from like the opening of the original Busch Stadium, like the opening of like from 1966.
Yeah.
So it's a blast. The whole day in downtown St. Louis, I mean, they turn the fountains red. There's bands. There's all kinds of great stuff. Go to the Hall of Fame, which is a really cool thing. And then all of the Hall of Famers will be there. They bring back everybody, all the World Series trophies, and they have those great Clydesdale horses that run around the track. It's a great time. So caller number what?
22.
At 875-1340. Time now for the Marquee Coffee Break. Fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for over 30 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discerning coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
Get ready, Decatur. Corks and Forks, the social event of the spring, returns Thursday, April 19th to the Decatur Conference Center. Enjoy samples of the very best entrees, appetizers, desserts, and more from the area's finest restaurants and caterers, paired with an extensive selection of wines from around the world. Music, games, raffles, a sizable silent auction, and a South American-themed VIP dining event are all on the menu. Get tickets and info at 423-3189 or at DecaturArts.org.
It's the 17th Macon County CASA Playhouse Raffle. Each year, two themes are chosen for the playhouses. This year, the playhouses are a castle called the Castle CASA and a super cute cottage called the Charleston Single House. Tickets available online at MaconCountyCASA.org or see sponsor locations. Houses will be showcased at Central Park in downtown Decatur beginning Monday, March 25th. And the drawing will be held live at the Greater Decatur Chamber of Commerce Business Expo on Thursday, May 2nd. Please support the 2019 CASA Playhouse Raffle.
Want to be your own boss? ADM Trucking is now hiring local and over-the-road owner-operators. We are paying $1.15 per mile plus fuel surcharge. Come join our team of professional drivers. To apply, applicants must have 1 year of recent driving experience, be at least 21 years of age, and have tank endorsement. If you're interested, call Debbie Sarko at 217-424-5686. That's 217-424-5686. Or visit adm.com/careers.
The power of the human voice has never been more apparent than today, because you can listen to WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM on your smart speaker, thanks to Hickory Point Bank. Simply say, play WSOY. Two words that will change your life for the better. Play WSOY. Yes, WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM is now on your smart speaker, thanks to Hickory Point Bank. Invested in space age technology.
You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. Who was our qualifier for the Heinkel's Countdown to Opening Day?
Jeff Lane.
Jeff, congratulations. He's going to be enjoying the andouille sausage. You can grill today, man. It's like sun, and I am so happy. Right around the corner, March 29th at 6:30 p.m. at the Hickory Point Golf Course, they're having the Rotten Easter Egg Hunt. Jamie Gower joining us in studios. Jamie, I've never been to this, but I've talked to people that have. It's a lot of fun, right?
No, it's a great time. And I think what I was talking to Brett out there, the first year we had this, put it all in perspective, when you say go, you're thinking, oh, people are going to walk. You know, you get your 10 eggs. Everybody gets 10 eggs. But people were running like they've never had an Easter egg hunt before. And these are all adults.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's awesome watching them.
Okay, so here's what you need to do. You need to bring a basket for your eggs and a flashlight, right?
Yeah, this will be in the evening, in the dark, for the actual Easter egg hunt.
Okay, $25 per person, $40 a couple. What's the VIP ticket get you?
Yeah, VIP, you're going to have really close parking. You also get extra drink tickets, and you get in a VIP drawing for cash drawing. So it's, you know, quite a few people will do that, but really you're getting the same Easter egg hunt either way. So,
okay. So what would explain the event for the people who have never been there and don't know about this? You show up, it starts at 6:30, right?
Yeah, 6:30, and you have plenty of time. We'll have food. There's adult beverages. Music will be happening. There's also a lot of side games. So you'll see people playing bags. There's water pong. We'll have like the large Jenga Connect Four, just, you know, four or five, six games inside. And then we'll have different heats for the actual egg hunt, which we'll call people out on. They'll have wristbands on. And then you will go out on the course in the dark and get your 10 eggs. Each egg will have some type of number in it.
Okay.
And then that corresponds to a possible winning, you know, gift cards, cash, and different restaurant coupons.
All right, then what's the golden egg? There's a top prize, right?
Right, golden egg is a cash prize of the, it's $150 for
okay.
that. And,
so this is just fun, couples, singles, whatever, just come out and socialize and have a great time.
Yeah, that's what it is. And, you know, we're looking, we'll probably be in the 120 range by the end of the week, because we're already hitting the 110. So.
Okay, that's great. So it's at Hickory Point. That's a new location, right?
Yeah, new location at Hickory Point.
Okay, so what happens, where do you put the eggs? I mean, like, how far out do you go?
Yeah, we'll have two different heats and two different courses. And kind of when you come up on hole one there, we'll have a course there, and then on the other side, because we like to split it up. The cart paths kind of split the...
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay, got pizza from Papa Murphy's?
Yeah, Papa Murphy's stepped in this year and is a sponsor, so we really appreciate that.
All right, and then the proceeds all go to benefit arts and youth recreation programs.
Yes, that helps us throughout the year.
All right, great stuff. This sounds like fun. March 29th, and can people just show up and pay at the door?
We're starting to get to limited spots. So if you're really wanting to go, I would give a call by probably Thursday if you can. That way we can account for you.
Okay, 422-5911. That's the administrative office there at the Park District. If they call there, they can reserve their tickets.
That's correct.
All right, Jamie, we appreciate it. Thank you very
much.
Good luck this weekend. All right, one last break. Here's Lindsay Romano with your 3-day forecast.
Today we've got sunny skies, highs near 50 degrees, tonight clear and lows around 30 for your Wednesday sunshine, highs near 60 degrees, and Thursday a 40% chance of showers after 1 p.m., cloudy, and highs near 62 degrees. Right now it is 32 degrees in downtown Decatur.
Milliken and Richland have over 180 degrees. 180 degrees ain't enough to bake a pizza, but it's enough to get you a slice of the pie. You can do it! Limitless Decatur. Know it! More bang for your buck. Decatur is the most affordable housing market in the country. That's more money for pillows, baby. Ha ha! Limitless Decatur. Know it! It's not poor old Decatur. Decatur has the highest hourly wages in the region. Higher than Bloomington Normal, Champaign Urbana, Springfield, and Peoria. Cha-ching! Limitless Decatur. Know it! Boss not by and you got stuck by a train again? Listen, Chief, there's over 8,000 rail cars a day rolling through Decatur. That's big business, baby.
Woohoo!
Limitless Decatur. Know it!
I'm Jessica Whitlock. I'm Director of Marketing at BLDD Architects. Well, Decatur Blue helps BLDD Architects with both our blueprinting needs and our digital storage of those blueprints, as well as any of our marketing needs that go along with the business. One of the reasons that we stay with Decatur Blue is because I know that they'll always make it happen, regardless of how crazy the request is or how outside of the box, that they will work with us to make it happen. Our experience with Decatur Blue's turnaround time is that we can always count on them to meet our deadlines, to go above and beyond, whether it's to work extra over the weekend or to stay late. If we give them a deadline, they'll always meet it for us. Decatur Blue's staff is unique in that they've all been there for so long. It's like working with a family. They all know each other. They've been there for as long as I've been there. No one ever leaves Decatur Blueprint. They stay there and work forever. And so you can count on the type of people that you're going to work with. You know who to call for specific things. And they're just awesome people. They've become a part of our business's family, too.
Make Decatur Blue part of your business's family, too. 423-7589 or visit them at DecaturBlue.com.
With roots in agriculture, manufacturing, production, we've emerged as a global force. It's a transformation. Logistics services, food and ingredients, biotechnology, health and medical science. Innovation at its finest every single day. These careers are waiting for you. Visit careersdecatur.com. We are Decatur and Macon County, and we are limitless.
You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Tuesday. Good morning. Tomorrow morning, Jacob Jenkins for mayor.
We'll also visit with
Rodney Walker, who was running for city council. School board wrap-up, Mark Topper, all of our regular stuff. Thursday, the City Hall Insider, our final one before the election. Then Siobhan Francis, who's running for city council. And then on Friday, we will wrap things up with Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, who will, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that's our final political interview.
That is our final political interview.
Unless Bill Faber wants in last minute.
What's the over-under on that one?
I don't know. Stranger things. I personally wonder if he's really wanting to win.
I don't know. He's not even showing up at the forums. How many times did he run and he's never been on?
I think maybe he's frustrated. You know, he seems to be like, there are a couple of these council members that seem to be like their own voice. You know, like they can't get any support of anything from anyone, right?
But he never had. I mean,
I know, but I'm just maybe he's tired of it. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe he just doesn't feel like showing up to the forums or any of the media and doesn't want to do. I don't have any idea. Anyway, I'll be interested. I've never met Jacob Jenkins before. That I don't recall anyway. I don't think I have. But I'll be interested to see what he has to say tomorrow and then Julie on Friday. We'll give you kind of a bam, 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 you know, right in a row with all the mayoral candidates. It's an important decision. People don't understand. It is just one vote on the council, but it is a consensus building position.
Yes.
Now, in all of your life, in all of your news career, have you ever, I've never come across a single ever council member trying to FOIA their own staff.
No, I can tell you that is never, I've never actually heard of that.
And if you were having, as suggested, a communication problem,
yes,
wouldn't your other six council members feel the same way?
Yeah. I mean, this is the only, council form of government, regardless, in my experience in whatever municipality, city.
I'm not saying it's never happened. I'm just saying.
I'm sure it has, but not in my experience.
What I'm saying is if this were four or five council members doing this or saying they couldn't get any information, you would say, okay, we've got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like other people don't have this problem. And that's why I asked the question. It's not, I'm not trying to be mean or pick on anybody.
I think it's an odd.
I think you get treated like a gnat when you act like a gnat.
Yes. Yes. I mean, to FOIA your own city manager.
I don't even think Dan Calkins did that.
No.
And he was the biggest gnat of all. Big, giant, bald gnat. The mustache. So I guess my question to him
and you can listen to the podcast and decide for yourself, but if you can't build consensus now amongst your council, why do you think just being mayor is going to be able to? And then with the political stuff, him trying to say that we wouldn't lose any money if we got rid of gaming because people would just take that gaming money and spend it like the brass horn, it's just the craziest
that
thing
is,
I've ever heard.
No. You know what they do? They'd run to the state money.
Bet it online.
And just online or lotto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but how come no one talks about how much the lottery takes out of this community every year?
No, it's sure not. Yeah.
And why do you keep voting for governors that are going to do this?
You know, that's the thing I don't understand. I mean, Governor Pritzker is looking at one of the biggest expansions of gambling that we've seen.
And marijuana.
Yeah.
And it's not just a Decatur thing, and that really does upset me when people act like it's a specific Decatur thing.
No, it's not. You go to
Springfield, Bloomington,
yes.
Everywhere. And I also, I don't think you can be frivolous when you're just telling small bar owners or these smaller, you know, locally owned places. Well, you know.
Sorry.
Sorry.
I also, and I don't, I feel like, and when it comes to my city council, my mayor, I don't feel like the ills of, societal issues.
Social issues.
Yeah, need to be.
The top priority.
Yeah. I want my roads fixed. I want police and fire. You know, I mean, I do want these things.
I get
things.
It, but that's how politicians buy votes. You know, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. I do think that it's been painstakingly slow in, you know, knocking down some of these houses. Part of it's revenue. Part of it's legality.
Legality.
I know.
It's expensive. They passed a resolution. Now they got to go through the legal process.
I know. So, by the way, I can sympathize with Councilman Horn wanting things to be faster. I have one of those personalities. I'd rather everything get done right now. But that's not always the way it works. I appreciate him coming in. He's worked hard. He's been at everything.
Yes, indeed.
But I think there's a communication gap with him and staff that would not change just because he was mayor. It's a personality thing. He's not the only one that's done it. Bill Faber does it. Dan Calkins did it. You know, where you're down there running city around in a circle on whatever whim you're on that particular day, to where they just quit responding to you, and then you've got to FOIA your own staff, which seems odd, but
yeah.
That's just me. I appreciate him coming in. Full half-hour podcast is available at natticator.com. All of our podcasts presented by Jurger Pediatric Dentistry, where beautiful smiles begin. And it's going to be a busy couple of weeks, right? We're on the road next Thursday. We were going to go do our show opening day, and we're like, it's the Community Leaders
Breakfast.
Community
Leaders Breakfast, yes, Thursday and Friday.
Our partners with Hickory Point Bank invested. What's Friday?
You're at St. Teresa. It may not be on that schedule.
Okay.
You'll be at St. Teresa.
Is it raffle time already?
I know, right?
I'm glad. I'm glad. There are benchmarks along the way. That's what I was asking you earlier about Easter. It's like there are things. You always said St. Patrick's Day, right? That you feel like if you get to St. Patrick's Day.
It used to be Easter for me. Now it is St. Patrick's Day.
Okay. Is that an older, I'm older thing?
Yes. I really need spring to be here, so I'm going to bump it up.
I understand.
I mean, it'll be Valentine's Day whenever I'm 70.
Yeah, New Year's Day.
Yeah.
All right. No, it's great. So we've got Dan Hampton coming to town, and we'll be out there broadcasting that in its entirety. We're going to hit the ground running. We got so much lined up over the next couple of months. Great stuff happening all around the land. Get this election behind us. Get moving forward. Really, really, really good idea. Have you been to this Rotten Easter Egg Hunt? I've never been to this thing. They got like 120 people coming.
That sounds like fun.
Well, I think we need to do a video.
Okay.
This is a bit more Rachel speed. I've been watching this. Is Rachel in training this morning? Is that what's going on?
Yes, she. Well, you mentioned Community Leaders Breakfast.
Well, hang on a second. She's all I've seen her do is yawn.
She's on the struggle
Three
bus.
3 hours.
Boop, boop.
I'm looking through the glass. Here's what you want to do when you come in. You want to do radio. I have one rule that's a steadfast rule, right? You got to be high energy because the high energy people tuning in, right? They don't care if you had a late night or a sore throat. They want their high energy because they're waking up feeling kind of. And all morning long, she's just been like an energy zap, right? Just look in there. She's just.
I know. She literally, I mean, like, and then she brings in like her Snuggies and stuff because she has to have blankets all the time.
Oh, you
we
kids.
Hired a child.
I wish there were an emoji for that.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to wrap things up. If you missed any of the show today, podcast available at natticator.com, presented by Jurger Pediatric Dentistry, where beautiful smiles begin. And you can find all of the political interviews. Council, school board, park board, in one section on the main Natticator page, just click on election interviews and they'll all be there for you to listen to if you care. Or even if you don't. That's it for us.
We will see you bright and early tomorrow morning. Have a great day and enjoy the sunshine.
No matter where you are, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is Shiler with your stories now, brought to you by Huff Home Special.